الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I ask Allah Ta'ala to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from which he fears for it. I ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us and you the sincere intentions. Ameen. In the previous lesson, we continued to talk about the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which is no one is God except Allah. And we said for the one, for the accountable non-Muslim, to become a Muslim, he must believe and utter and say the Shahada. That is, no one is God except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So if anyone we know of that is a non-Muslim and is accountable, we can advise him. We can tell him, we advise you to become a Muslim by believing and saying that no one is God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. By that, you would become a Muslim. He does not have to shower before he does that. He does not have to make wudu. He does not have to go swim or any of these things. What he must do is believe and say that no one is God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And we explained, we now are explaining the meaning of no one is God except Allah. We said Allah, who has attributes that befit him, who is attributed with all proper perfection and is clear of all improper imperfection. Who is clear of all imperfection. Allah is attributed with all the perfect attributes that befit him. Here the author specified befitting perfect attributes because among the perfect attributes there are those which are perfect in relation to mankind, to humans, but are not perfect when attributed to Allah. For example, brilliance, intellect, nice voice, and the strength of the body. Those are considered perfect attributes for mankind. But when attributed to Allah, they do not befit Allah. They are not befitting to attribute to Allah, because God is the one who created the intellect. He is the one who created the brilliance in the creations, their nice voice, their strength of the body, and the like. God is clear of all these attributes. Allah is clear of all imperfection. So Allah, God, is attributed with proper perfection, and he is clear of the attributes that do not befit him. He is clear of the attributes. Allah is clear of the attributes of the creation, such as bodily characteristics like color, shape, motion, movement, stillness. These things do not apply to Allah. Allah is clear from that. This is why the people of the truth, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the true believers, the true followers of the Prophet and his Sunnah, the true Sufis, they said Allah exists without a place, because the one who exists in a place must have a limit, and everything that has a limit is in need of one who specified it with that limit. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need a place. He is not in a place. He is not contained in the six directions. He exists without a place. We don't say he exists everywhere. We don't say he resides in the heaven or sits on the throne like the Jews and the Christians claim. The Muslims believe that God existed eternally when there was nothing, and now God exists as he existed eternally without a place. This is why Allah is clear of being in a direction or any of the directions. We do not say Allah inhabits the sky. We do not say Allah exists in the direction of above or below or any of the directions. We do not say Allah exists in all places or everywhere. Rather, Allah exists. Allah mawjood bila makan. Allah exists and he does not resemble other things that exist. Hence, Allah exists without a place. The author said, there is absolutely nothing like him, and he is attributed with hearing and sight. Explanation of this is the meaning of verse 11 of Surah Ash-Shura. قال الله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. This ayah means absolutely nothing resembles Allah, and Allah is attributed with hearing and sight. Just like as Imam Dhunnun al-Misri and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, may Allah have mercy upon them and accept their deeds, just like they said, whatever you imagine in your mind, Allah is different from it. مهما تصورت ببالك فالله بخلاف ذلك. This is the saying of Al-Imam Dhunnun al-Misri. Although he is famous as Dhunnun al-Misri, his name is or was Thawban, the son of Ibrahim. That's his name, Thawban, the son of Ibrahim. This scholar originally, he was from An-Nuba, today an area between southern Egypt and northern Sudan. He lived in Egypt some 1200 years ago, Imam Dhunnun al-Misri. He was among the higher ranked scholars. He was famous for being very God-fearing as well. He was a great Sufi also. He said, whatever you imagine in your mind, Allah is different from it, because anything that you imagine in your mind is created. Therefore, Allah cannot be imagined in the minds. Allah is clear of resembling any of the creations, tangible or otherwise, whether they are soft or hard, whether they are light or rock, for example. Allah is different from the humans, angels, from light. He is different from light, from spirits. He is different from sun and moon. Allah is not similar to any of the creations in any way whatsoever. Allah exists without a beginning, and everything else exists with a beginning. He is the creator, and everything else is a creation. The meaning of this is Allah is the only one who is eternal. He is the only one who has no beginning. Allah is the only one whose existence is without a beginning. Everything else exists with a beginning. This is the meaning of a creation. That is, the creation is what is that which was not existing, and then it was brought into existence. This is called a creation. It was created after it did not exist. But God was always in existence. He has no beginning. Therefore, He is not created. He is the creator. Therefore, there was a beginning to the creation, to the existence of the creations. Everything other than Allah has a beginning, is a creation, and is created by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Exalted. This applies to the kind. That means the kind, which is the common criterion existing in each and every element of a group, which specifically characterizes that group. For example, humanity, the kind of humanity is humans. So this applies that everything is created, including kind and the elements, the humans and humanity, the world and its kind, the deed and the bodies, the jawhar and the arad. The jawhar here, used by the scholars, this term is used by the well-known and higher-ranked scholars as the smallest particle. This is called the jawhar, the smallest particle that cannot be further divided, the smallest atom that cannot be divided. This is created. And the arad refers to the attribute that does not exist independently. It applies to the jawhar. For example, the sun, its color, they say, is yellow. For example, the sun is an object, is created, its color is a property, is a arad. It is found in something else. Everything, all of that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is used by the scholars to emphasize on the understanding that inclusively everything other than Allah is created. The belief that everything other than Allah is a creation is among the fundamentals of the creed of the Muslims. Therefore, hence, anyone who believes that something other than Allah exists without a beginning is a blasphemer, because he belied the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet. Some people believe, for example, the kind of the universe is eternal, and that is, the existence has no beginning. They claim that the world, the existence of this world, has no beginning. Just like the later philosophers, and just like the person who was named Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah. Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah, he claimed that the universe was not created. This is falsifying and belying the Quran. That's why Ahlul Sunnah, they consider Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah as a blasphemer. And that's why they imprisoned him more than once. And he died in prison because he would not repent from the blasphemy that he committed. Unfortunately, nowadays, many groups, such as Wahhabis in particular, they publish and print this man's books, and they spread them, distribute them for free all over the poor countries, in intention to spread the blasphemous beliefs of Ibn Taymiyyah, such as believing that this world, the existence of this world, does not have a beginning. Only Allah does not have a beginning, and everything else has a beginning, and it was created by Allah Ta'ala. In his book Tashnif Al-Masami', Imam Az-Zarkashi narrated the consensus, the ijma' of the Muslims, judging those who believe that the universe is eternal to be blasphemers. Therefore, Ibn Taymiyyah falls under this category. This man named Ibn Taymiyyah Al-Harrani, he falls under this category because he claimed in more than one of his books that the universe has no beginning, that it is eternal, and this is blasphemy. And Imam Az-Zarkashi was a very popular scholar who lived about 700 years ago. We shall continue explaining the terms of the summary of Abdullah Al-Harari. The author said, every creation that exists, be it among entities or deeds, a'yan wal a'mal, from the fine dust, dharra, to the arsh, which they refer to in English as the throne. The arsh is the ceiling of paradise. It is the largest of the creations in size. From the fine dust to the throne, and every movement, rest, intention, and thought of the slaves is created by Allah. Hence, no one other than Allah, be it nature or cause, creates anything. Things become existent by Allah's will, power, and destiny, and is in accordance with His eternal knowledge. This is the text of the summary of Abdullah Al-Harari. Let us explain it, inshallah, so that we comprehend this explicit terminology. The nature of things means their specific normal characteristics, tabi'ah, or ada, as some scholars said. So the nature of things is the specific normal characteristics of these things, of this nature. For example, the nature or tabi'ah of the fire is to burn. The cause, the illah, is what gives a certain result. For example, if one has a ring on one's finger and one moves his finger, the ring moves because of the movement of one's finger. So the movement of the finger is the cause, the illah for the movement of the ring. For example, if I move my hand, this movement is, I acquire this movement, but it is by the will of Allah. And in my hand I have a ring or a watch. The watch moved as I moved my hand. This cause, this is called a cause, because I moved my hand, the watch moved with my hand. All of that is created by Allah. The cause, the illah, and the result is created by Allah. Neither the laws of nature nor causes create anything in this universe. Rather, Allah is the only one who creates. Nature does not create anything. Allah created nature, and He created cause and the result. Allah is the only one who creates, subhanahu wa ta'ala. By His power, Allah brings things into existence. Allah eternally knew about His creations, and accordingly He willed for them to exist. So Allah has the knowledge eternally that so and so will live certain years and he will die, and so and so will choose this and he will choose that. He will do the good and he will do the evil. Allah has the knowledge eternally that this person, that creation will choose this and that. Allah Ta'ala creates the creations, their deeds. However, the creation or the slave only acquires the act. He directs his intention to commit or to do the act. Allah eternally knew about his creations, and accordingly he willed for them to exist. Allah is the creator of everything, as mentioned in the Quran. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى in Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 2, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah created everything. This is the meaning of that ayah. Allah created everything, kulla shay. He brought all the creation from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. No one creates with this meaning of creating except Allah. قال الله تعالى هل من خالق غير الله. Surah Fatir, Ayah 3 means, no one is the creator except Allah. هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٌ هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ أَيْ لَا خَالِقَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We are continuing the text. An-Nasafi said that if a person hit glass with a stone and broke it, then the acts of hitting and breaking and the state of being broken were created by Allah. The slave only acquires the act. Allah is the only one who creates. قال الله تعالى لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 286 means, every individual self will be rewarded by Allah for the good deeds it acquired, and will be accountable for the sins it committed. This is the text, and now we will explain. Dear listeners, the creed of the people of the truth, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that the slave is a creation of Allah, and the doings of the slave are also creations of Allah. The slave does not create anything. Allah is the one who creates the things. He creates the doings of the slaves, and the slave only acquires his acts. So if a person picks up a stone, as Imam An-Nasafi said, if a person hit glass with a stone and broke it, then the acts of hitting and breaking and the state of being broken were created by Allah. The slave only acquires the act. So if a person picks a stone from the ground, throws it at a piece of glass and breaks the glass, then breaking the glass by throwing the stone, which is the action of the slave, and the breaking of the glass, which occurs in the glass, are both created by Allah. Everything, the throwing, the breaking, is created by Allah. This is an explicit example by Al-Imam An-Nasafi to indicate that everything is created by Allah. The slaves, the doings, and the results are created by Allah. So the slave, his intention to throw that stone at the glass, the hand by which he threw the stone, the action of throwing, and the stone he threw are what? Are all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All that happens is a creation of Allah. Allah created it. Even one's intentions, one's desires, inclinations, thoughts, and any changes in them, they are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As related by Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi and others in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ قُلُوبَ الْعِبَادِ بَيْنَ إِصْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. إصبعين here does not mean fingers, literally fingers. The hadith means the hearts of the slaves are under the control of Allah. Allah turns them the way He willed. Hence, the one who deviates from this belief and claims that the slaves create their own voluntary actions is belying the Quran and the hadith. There is a group of people who has this blasphemous belief. They claim that God created the slaves, which is correct, but they say the creations create their own voluntary actions. This is contradicting to the scholarly consensus, to the ijma'. This is why the top scholars had the ijma', the consensus that such a person is a blasphemer. Imam Al-Maturidi, which is one of the popular, very popular scholar of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, also another scholar that was very well known all over the world, all over the Muslim nation, and Al-Imam al-Maturidi. They were both among the great supporters of Ahlus Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. In particular, Imam al-Maturidi declared the one who claims that the slave creates his act as blasphemers. Abu Mansur al-Baghdadi said, أَجْمَعَ أَصْحَابُنَا عَلَى تَكْفِيرِهِمْ, which means the Ash'aris, which are the scholars that follow the great Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, in agreement, the Ash'aris are in agreement that such people, those who claim people create their own actions, are blasphemers. Also before them, many prominent scholars of the Salaf declared as blasphemers those who say that the slave creates his deed. And the Salaf are the companions, their followers, and their followers who lived within the first 300 Hijri years. Those are called Salaf. Many of those scholars, they declared as a kafir the one who claims that the slave creates his actions or the slave creates his deeds. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared them as blasphemers, and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are sufficient in this matter. However, saying that Allah is the creator of everything, including the intentions of the slave, this does not mean that the slave does not have a choice. The slave has a choice. He chooses. However, his choice is also under the will of Allah. If Allah did not will for him to choose, it will not happen. His choice does not reach to an extent that he creates his own actions. Rather, his own choice is a creation of Allah and is under the will of Allah. So that slave acquires the act. He chooses to do either the good or the evil. He has this ability to choose. But that choice is also under the will of Allah. Here's the beneficial information. Now, if the statement that we said, the slave acquires his act, it means that Allah creates that deed. Means that that slave directs his will and his intention towards doing a particular deed. Then Allah creates that deed. Although the directing of the will and the doing of the deed are created by Allah, still the slave is doing the directing and the deed. Therefore, he acquires his act. He chooses to do this act. Hence, if someone runs intentionally, the fact that his intention and his running movements are created by Allah does not negate that he is the one running intentionally, and thus that he is accountable for his running. So the person, the slave, he acquires the act. He directs himself towards his intention and his will, towards doing the act, towards doing the deed. That intention is created by Allah, and that deed is created by Allah. A person intends to run, for example, and he starts running. His intention to go ahead and run and his running are created by Allah. So the slave, what did he do? He chose, he directed himself, and he directed his will and intention to do the running, the act of running, for example. So everything is created by Allah. Now, the will of Allah is the attribute by which Allah specifies the intellectual possibilities, that is, the creations, with their attributes. This is what it means. The will of Allah is the attribute by which Allah specifies the creations with their attributes. The intellectual possible. Intellectually, it's possible for the human to exist or not to exist. So Allah is the one who specifies this, his existence or non-existence. The existence, the life of that slave or his death. That is the will of Allah. He specifies that. That is the meaning of the will. So Allah Ta'ala does whatever He wills. He specifies the creations or the intellectual possibilities, what mentally is possible to exist. He specifies them with their attributes, being alive or dead or the like. The author continues talking about the attributes of Allah. He said, the speech of Allah, the kalam of Allah, is without a beginning like all of His other attributes, because He, the Exalted, Subhanahu, is unlike all the creations in the self, that, attributes, sifat, and actions, af'al. Now the kalam of Allah is an attribute of the self, that of Allah, which is not created, and it is not a letter, sound, or language. With this kalam, Allah orders, forbids, promises, and threatens. That's why in the Quran we say it's kalamullah, which means it is the orders of Allah in which He forbids, He promises, and He threatens. But the Arabic words that we read in the Quran are expressions referring to the attribute of Allah, the self, the attribute of the self of Allah, which is the speech, al-kalam. That specific attribute, when attributed to Allah, when kalam is attributed to Allah, it is not a letter or a sound or a voice. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The speech of Allah, which is the attribute of His self, does not have a beginning. It's eternal. Just like all of other attributes of Allah, it does not have a beginning or an ending. His life does not have a beginning and it does not have an end. His kalam does not begin or end. It is not a letter. It is not letters which occur sequentially. The speech of Allah is not similar to the speech of the creation. If I say Bismillah, the letters are sequential in this word. Allah Ta'ala's kalam, His speech, is not sequential. However, the Arabic language or the Quran that we read in the holy book of Al-Quran are expressions of the orders of Allah, of the eternal speech of Allah. The eternal speech, kalam, of Allah is called the Quran. The term the Quran can also refer to the terms revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and included in the book of the Quran. Now, these Arabic terms are created. We say about the Quran, it is kalamullah. Kalamullah about the Quran means, can mean either of two things. Either the attribute, the eternal kalam of Allah, or the Quran which we read in the Arabic language. It can mean both things. Those two are called kalamullah, or are called the Quran. Now, the Arabic terms that we read, they are created, because the Arabic language is created and the English language is created. The Latin, all the languages are created. Now, because these terms are expressions referring to the eternal speech of Allah, they are also called the Quran, even though beyond doubt these terms are created. Let's make it more clear. I will give you an example. If someone wrote the word Allah on a chalkboard or on the wall, and one was asked what is that on the board, he would answer Allah. His response does not mean those letters he wrote, that is the A L L A H, does not mean those letters are the self whom we worship. It does not mean this is the self of Allah. Rather, he means that this term, the letters Alif, Lam, and Ha, or A, L, L, A, and H, that term is an expression referring to the self whom we worship, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The self who does not resemble anything. Likewise, the terms revealed unto Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are expressions of the speech of Allah, the attribute of His self. They are expressed in the Arabic language, so we are able to understand them. But the actual attribute of Allah itself is not a letter, is not a sound or voice. Both the attribute of the self of Allah and the revealed expressions are referred to as the speech of Allah, and both are referred to as the Quran. What we read in Arabic is created, but what we read are expressions of the orders of Allah, of the true kalam, the eternal attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not permissible for one to believe that the speech of Allah, which is the attribute of His self, the speech which Prophet Musa alayhi salam heard, it's not permissible to believe is a language, Arabic or otherwise. Such a belief is a misguidance, because it entails likening Allah to the creations. Allah is absolutely unlike all the creations in His self, in His attributes, and in His actions. The speech of Allah is not created. The kalam of the self of Allah is not created. However, the Arabic terms in the Quran are created. Those terms are created so that we can understand. So the Arabic words that we read in the Quran are expressions expressing the orders of Allah, in which He forbids and threatens subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran can either mean the attribute of Allah, kalam, which is not created, this is not a letter, And a Quran can also mean the book which is revealed unto Prophet Muhammad, the verses of the Quran which were revealed unto Prophet Muhammad by Angel Jibreel in the Arabic language. Those expressions, those terms that we read are expressions of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expressions of the speech of Allah, the attribute of His self. The attribute itself, the kalam, the attribute itself is not created, but the expressions expressed in the Quran are created. Allah ta'ala created the Arabic language, and He created the all the languages. However, His speech is not created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greatly clear of all non-befitting attributes that the blasphemers attribute to Him. The meaning of this, subhanahu, it means tanzih. That is, we declare that Allah is clear of all non-befitting attributes. This is what the meaning of subhanahu is. It means Allah is clear of all imperfection. He is clear of all non-befitting attributes. Ta'ala means the same, and is a reconfirmation of the same meaning. That's why we say subhanahu wa ta'ala wa tanazzaha. It means Allah is greatly clear of all the non-befitting attributes that the blasphemers attribute to Him, such as those who attribute to Allah the body or the organs or the partner or the children. Wal'iyadhu billah. Allah is clear from all of that. The author said, summing up what has been mentioned before, it is confirmed that Allah Ta'ala has 13 attributes which were mentioned repeatedly in the Quran, either explicitly or implicitly. These attributes are existence, al-wujud, oneness, al-wahdaniyyah, eternity, al-qidam, al-azaliyyah, everlastingness, al-baqa, non-neediness of others, القيام بالنفس, power, القدرة, will, الإرادة, knowledge, العلم, hearing, السمع, sight, البصر, life, الحياة, speech, الكلام, and non-resemblance to the creation, المخالفة للحوادث. The author said, since these attributes were mentioned many times in the Quran and Hadith, the scholar said that knowing them is a personal obligation, فَرْضُ عَيْن. Let us explain. The explanation of what the author said and meant in this, that among the countless attributes of Allah, now the attributes of Allah are countless, but among the countless attributes of Allah, there are some which were mentioned repeatedly in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ concentrated on teaching these particular attributes to the people using the terms mentioned in the Quran. The Nas, the text, the terms mentioned in the Quran, as well as other terms carrying the same meaning, ma'na. Accordingly, the scholars deduced that it is obligatory upon every accountable Muslim to know these particular attributes. They are 13. So because they were mentioned so many times repeatedly in the Quran, the scholars, they said, at least a person must learn and know those 13 attributes. He must know and understand them. Now, many scholars mention that knowing those 13 attributes is a personal obligation, fardu ayn. Every person who's accountable must know them. The later scholars took special care to explicitly mention this obligation, such as Imam As-Sanusi, the author of Sanusi Creed, or such as the Maliki scholar Al-Fudali, such as Al-Imam Ash-Sharnubi, also another Maliki scholar. There are other scholars also that went ahead and gave more in-depth explanations to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying what befits to Allah and clearing Allah from what does not befit Him. Among the great heads, the great leaders of the scholars of the Salaf, who explicitly named these attributes and indicated that it was obligatory for every accountable Muslim to know them, was Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy upon him. He mentioned this in his book Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. He mentioned these attributes of Allah in his book, which are the attributes that we mentioned. And inshallah, we will go ahead and explain the meanings of those attributes, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that will be in our next coming session. We will explain what the scholars interpreted these attributes that were mentioned repeatedly in the Quran, what al-wujud, existence of Allah, means, that Allah exists without a place, without a beginning, unlike the existence of the creation, that Allah is one, He has no partner, that Allah is eternal, He has no beginning and He has no end, that Allah Ta'ala does not have a beginning, does not have an ending, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah does not need any of His creations, that Allah has the power over all the creations, that Allah Ta'ala does whatever He wills. Everything that Allah willed in eternity to exist, it exists the way Allah willed for it, and that Allah is knowledgeable, He knows about everything, that Allah hears everything, and Allah Ta'ala sees everything that is seeable without organs, that Allah is attributed with life that is not a combination of body and soul, that Allah has speech which is eternal, it is not a letter or sound, and that Allah Ta'ala does not resemble His creations in any way. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. This will be our next session. We ask Allah Ta'ala to increase our knowledge, to guide us to the correct path, the path of the prophets, the companions, and the pious, righteous ones. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.